Hello and welcome to the Grid Code podcast series, where we analyze critical topics in the African electricity market. I am your host, Ada Elemide. The Nigerian electricity market has for a long time been characterized with the non-execution of critical industry documents. On today's episode, we'll take a look at the critical industry agreements and how they can be regularized for optimal performance of the market. My guest today is Muriel Koki, a legal expert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Adora. I'm excited to be here.
Let's go right into it. With your background, can you give us a little introduction to the industry agreement of the electricity sector?
The electricity market in Nigeria is one that is, you know, very large and has many components to it. You have the on-grid markets, and you also have the off-grid markets. Now, in responding to your question, I would be focusing on the on-grid electricity market and looking at the power value chain from the power generation to end users. The first critical agreement is the feedstock supply agreement, which is the gas sale and purchase agreement. Currently, our energy mix is predominantly gas-fired, so hence you have a gas sale and purchase agreement being one of the critical agreements that would be executed in the on-grid markets. Flowing from that, you would have a power purchase agreement between the power generator and NBET, so the Nigerian Bulk Electricity Trader, which is the body that was set up primarily to serve as a central counterparty in the electricity market and provide payment assurances to power generators. Now, flowing from the power purchase agreement, you would also have agreements between the power generator and the Transmission Company of Nigeria, which relation to the supply of power through the national grid. You then have what is known as the grid connection agreement, and you also have a transmission use of system agreement. You also have an ancillary services agreement, which allows the power generator to supply ancillary services to the grid. Flowing from that, the power that is purchased between the power generator and NBET is then used for onward resale to the distribution companies, pursuant to what is known as vesting contracts between NBET and the DISCOs, because essentially NBET is a pass-through entity that sits between the generators and the DISCOs in the on-grid markets. So you would see that, you know, there's a complex framework of agreements when it comes to the on-grid electricity markets.
Thank you for that introduction. Going forward, are these critical agreements in the industry currently legally binding on market participants?
These agreements are binding on market participants. These agreements have been signed, condition precedents have been met, activation agreements have been entered into at PPA level and vesting contract level, right? You know, so they are binding on the generators and suppliers that we currently have that are currently supplying power to the grid. The problem is not really whether they are existing, but some of the issues we're dealing with is, you know, performance and compliance with the terms of this agreement. So they are binding. However, we are also still dealing with challenges around performance and compliance with the terms of these binding agreements.
Can you give us an idea of what this challenge is preventing the execution of these documents?
We're dealing with significant performance and compliance challenges. One of such issues being non-cost reflective tariff. This particular issue has led to an accumulation of significant cash deficits across the power value chain because it is at the center of everything. If the tariffs are not reflective, the DISCOs cannot get enough money to pay for the power they are receiving from NBET, and NBET is not receiving enough money to make payments to the generators for the power received. You also have market participants being in breach of their obligations under the contracts, or just a general lack of market discipline. If you look at the power sector recovery program, that document does well to also highlight other power sector challenges, infrastructure constraints, gas supply, gas regulation of gas prices, grid instability, distribution constraints, and, you know, general management and performance issues in the market. I would also like to add that in spite of these challenges, we must take cognizance of the fact that the regulator NERC has in recent times been taking various steps that would improve performance and compliance with this agreement. You have things like the increase in tariffs based on service levels, which would be expected to boost liquidity in the market and, you know, alleviate these deficits that I mentioned. We also have seen introduction of service level agreements between TCN and the DISCOs to address technical and operational constraints in the DISCO-TCN interface. We've also seen a lot of investment by TCN and the federal government to improve grid infrastructure. There has been a concerted effort to address these challenges that I have just mentioned.
Based on these challenges you've mentioned, what impact have they had on the electricity market?
The impacts have been significant. The major one being insufficient power supply. We still do not have sufficient power supply in the market to meet the demands of the Nigerian populace. And this also ties into negatively impacting on ability of the various counterparties to make payments. You also find that there's a lot of lack of investor confidence in the market, because if the market is not liquid, if tariffs are low, you have fewer people wanting to invest in on-grid power generation. So I would say two significant impacts are insufficient power supply in the market and a general lack of investor confidence when it comes to on-grid generation investments.
From your response, the impacts has affected the commercial viability of the electricity market. So going forward, how do you think we can optimize the commercial markets for viability?
Essentially, to optimize the electricity market for viability is to fix the root cause issues, restore power sector financial viability through tariff improvements. And as I mentioned, we've seen movements recently to increase tariffs based on, you know, service levels, increase or improve power supply reliability to meet growing demand. The more power we have on the grid, the more power we have in our homes, the more we pay for what we use. And you can even tie this into the recent drive for metering, because we have to pay for the power that we're using in order to alleviate some of the challenges in the power sector. Also, you know, strengthening the power sector institutional framework, increased transparency in how the market is being regulated, implement clear policies, you know, that would promote or encourage investors' confidence. A lot of investors are looking for things like credit support or guarantees to backstop the various obligations of the counterparties, improve gas constraint challenges. Essentially, fixing the root cause issues will optimize electricity market for viability.
Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast session, and we hope to have you on other sessions in the future.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Adora, for having me.